right here at the outset, wanted to go ahead and say a number of things. We had made some comments Thursday evening in response to the assassination of Charlie Kirk that had taken place last week. And I know that weighs heavy on many minds and hearts, and hope that you are and will continue to pray for his family members and loved ones. But just some things on my heart that I'd like to say to you this morning. We'll just do that right here at the outset. My wife and I had watched on Friday night, got back from St. Augustine evangelism, and we had watched as his wife, Erica Kirk, had addressed the nation. I looked yesterday morning. That video had been viewed by more than 3 million people on YouTube, more than 3 million people on X, and I'm not sure how to tell how many people watch a video on Rumble, but on those three platforms, well over 6, nearly 7 million people. I looked yesterday morning, just on YouTube alone, there were over 30,000 comments on the video, and my wife began reading through many of those comments, and person after person after person giving testimony. You know, I watched this. I went back. I watched some other videos. I want you to know that I've come to faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. That I've trusted Him as Savior. And then comment after comment after comment, person after person who said, you know, I haven't been to church in years, but I'm planning to go on Sunday. And I want us to join our hearts in prayer together this morning that our nation's churches will be full today. But we also need to pray that our nation's preachers will speak the truth. Because it's going to do people no good to go to a church where the pastor doesn't have the knowledge or the courage to tell them what they need to know from the Word of God. And the sad, sad state of our nation today is there are a lot of preachers in pulpits who can't find heaven with a flashlight. They don't know the first thing from the Bible about how a soul can have assurance of sins forgiven and eternal life. And we need to pray this morning, people. Go to church. We need to pray. Maybe by accident, the preacher will give the gospel and tell them how they can be saved, and just be bold enough to proclaim the truth from the Word of God. I also hope and pray this morning our nation will wake up to the reality that speech is not violence. Speech is not violence. The definition of hatred is not daring to challenge woke philosophy with biblical truth. Definition of hatred is silencing those with whom you disagree. It's a really sad thing that one man would take the life of another man because that man, this is the reason it happened, because that man boldly proclaimed what he believed. The scary thing is how many people there are out there who thought it was a good thing and applauded it when it happened. And I don't think any of us need to live in fear, but I think we do need to be aware that the positions that Charlie Kirk articulated that got him killed, they came from a biblical perspective and a biblical worldview. It wasn't just conservative politics. It was an objective foundation for truth, which is the Word of God. And the things that he spoke about, many of them are the same positions I hold individually, we hold corporately as a church. Now, let me explain this to you. As Bible-believing Christians, we believe in something that is called soul liberty. Soul liberty. What that means is nobody has the right to force somebody else to believe anything. And nobody has the right to force anybody else to practice a particular religion. That's soul liberty. And that concept is the foundation for the freedoms that are spelled out in the Bill of Rights, in the Constitution of the United States of America. Now those freedoms aren't created by the Bill of Rights. Those freedoms are God-given. They're natural rights. They're inalienable rights. The Declaration of Independence calls them, God gave those rights. I'm thankful we live in a country that whose official founding documents recognize those rights. Soul liberty. You can believe whatever you want to believe, and nobody can force you to believe anything else. Freedom of speech means that I have the right to try to convince you and persuade you to believe what I believe. And that you have the right to try to convince me and persuade me of your beliefs. Listen, we go downtown, we preach the gospel, been doing it for 40 years, and there's a lady with green hair who stands on the same corner every Friday preaching her atheism. Listen, she has every right to do so. And I couldn't disagree more with her worldview, but I'm thankful we both live in a country where we can stand and up proclaim what we believe. So everybody can hold their own opinions, their beliefs, their opinions, and everybody can voice their opinions and beliefs and positions. But understand, listen, understand this. There is no one more tolerant than a Bible-believing Christian who believes in soul liberty. The fact that I want to convince you to believe something doesn't mean that I'm shoving it down your throat or attacking you or hating you. Understood? There's no one less tolerant than someone who thinks that speech is hatred and violence. Someone who intimidates and threatens and silences and censors and kills those who articulate biblical truth. Say this, there's a segment of the population in our country that says that guns are for hunting and recreation and self-defense. You know why they say that? Because that's how they use them. And then there's a segment that says, no, guns are bad, they're for killing and violence. You know why they say that? Because that's how they use them. You need to recognize that difference. And all of that, the reason I say all of that this morning, it's not to be political, it's to pray that our churches be full, that people that go to church will hear the truth. And let me speak to you if that's why you're here today. If the events that transpired this week motivated you to seek out a house of worship and go to a Christian church, we are so thankful. Amen. That you are here. Amen. And listen, we will not flinch to tell you the truth from the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. God Almighty is the Creator of heaven and of earth. He is a loving and a merciful Savior. He is a holy and a righteous judge. And all of us have sinned against Him, and the wages of sin is death and separation from God in a place called hell. But listen, God loved you so much. He sent His Son to the world. And Jesus Christ, God's Son, lived a perfect sinless life. He did what we could never do so that He could die a substitutionary and sacrificial death on Calvary's cross. When He did that, He was paying for your sins and paying for my sins. And when He rose again 3 days later, He proved that He has the power to save all that come to God by Him. And because of what Jesus did, because of the blood that He shed, the death that He died, the resurrection He accomplished, because of that, you and I can have complete pardon, full forgiveness, a relationship with God, eternal life, all for coming to God as guilty sinners, trusting in what Jesus Christ has done. Claiming His payment for your sins, casting your soul on His mercy and His grace. The Bible really clearly says and promises, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I did that, and it works. Amen. And I'm happy about it, thankful for it, and got the joy of the Lord in my heart this morning. Excited to be at church so we can worship God together. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for the truth. Lord, objective truth. eternal truth, powerful truth. Thank you that it's recorded for us in the Bible. Thank you that it's been preserved through the generations, perfect and pure, so that we can read it and believe it and live by it and stake our souls upon it. And Lord, we thank you for the freedom and liberty we enjoy. We pray that it would continue. God, we pray for our nation this morning. God, we pray for our nation. God, be merciful. God, be merciful to us. Lord, I pray that your people return. God, that they would repent. God, that we'd believe your word and live by your word and not be ashamed of your word. And God, we'd be faithful to proclaim the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we believe, we hope, we trust, we ask that many, many people who wouldn't be in church otherwise will be in church today. And God, that when they go, that a preacher would speak the truth, would give the gospel, would exalt Christ. Lord, may the cross not be clouded by religion. God, may the cross not be clouded by compromise. Lord, I pray that preachers today would not seek to be accepted. They would not seek to be relevant. They would not seek to not offend. Lord, they'd seek to please you by proclaiming your word. Lord, bless our hearts together today. We are thankful for the opportunity to worship you. We're thankful for a reason to sing these songs to you. And may we sing from our hearts, and may you be pleased. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.